I want to start something this morning, and we're gonna take it. We'll see the kind of distance we get out of this. But I want to start talking about what it means to go forward in our lives, what it means to go forward in our church life as a community of people who do what we do, and in your life personally, what does it mean to have this sense of going forward? So I want to start that today, and in light of the fact that I only have 45 minutes right now, we'll just be able to introduce it. I'm just joking. We're out of here by noon. And look at this from, begin talking about it from this vantage point. Okay, you with me? Looking at it from this vantage point. To grow or not to grow is always the question. Pray with me, will you? Father, in Jesus' name, as we talk about these things today, that it be more than just rhetoric, and that somehow you'd keep it from going in one ear and out the other, and that when we leave here, we'll be the better for having been together and having heard something from your word. I ask for your anointing to that end. Amen. And so to grow or not to grow is always the question, okay? Let me become poetic and read you this little poem. I think it's pretty cool. It emphasizes something where we want to go today, okay? It says this, "One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not alone on the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat. But Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenge you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed. You would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired. I got fed up. And there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand." I like the little humorous story of the farmer who got a little excited and rushed to his neighbor's house. He needed some help. What are neighbors for? But some help, especially. He says, "Hey, listen, my son is stuck in the mud, and I really need somebody to help me." The guy was all frantic. And the neighbor said, "Well, listen," he says, how far is he in?" He said, "Well, he's in up to his ankles." He said, "Listen," he said, "relax." He said, we'll get to him." He said, "No, you don't understand. He went in head first." Yeah. To grow or not to grow is always the question. And I'd like to begin by reading this text from Exodus. Exodus is in the Old Testament, right after Genesis. And it's in chapter 14, a very famous story. You remember the children of Israel, they were finally let go out of captivity in Egypt. And on their way out, a million plus, couple million people, women and children counting, and they come to their first obstacle, the release from, what a tremendous metaphor that is for us. They were released by miracles from a life of bondage, of captivity, and there they go. God did some wondrous things in their lives, and immediately they come up against a problem, the Red Sea. Now, most of us have lived long enough to know that life is filled with problems, right? It is, unfortunately. And so here they are. They're facing a problem. And the problem is that they just come out of captivity. They're on the run, so to speak, now because Pharaoh's after them. He had a change of mind. And so they got an army behind them that wants to, and before them is the Red Sea. Now, the Red Sea is no small body of water. Right, it's pretty big. And it's like, uh-oh, we got a problem. And Moses, you know, being the leader that he was, he sees the problem, you know. And he goes to the Lord, and pretty much he whines a little bit about it. And then God says something to Moses, and it's almost comical to me in the situation. You know, the problem behind you, the problem in front of you. And God speaks into our lives with problems behind us, problems in front of us, and he says something only God would dare to say. And he says it to Moses here as they're facing the problem of the Red Sea of water. And he says, verse 14, or verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? You ever been there with a problem in front of you and a problem behind you? I have, you know, crying. You know, I'm not afraid to say in public that I have cried like a girl at times with some of the problems I have faced. No shame, I say it. I know some of you, and I know I've heard you cry like girls. God, I'm talking about some of the guys that are here. But listen, he says, God says, what are you crying about? And then he says this, something that only God can say. He says, tell them, tell the Israelites to go forward. Something only God can say. Tell them to go forward. Go forward. And then you know the rest of the story, that God performs a miracle. That's why I say only God can say go forward in those kinds of situations, because he's prepared to perform a miracle. And God performs a miracle, and he parts the Red Sea. And they walk across on dry land, and they continue to go where God wants them to go. Very important phrase to make. Very important statement. Meaning that, I say important because God has some place for each of you, for us as a church, to go. And he's bound and determined to get us there, Red Sea or not. I'm telling you it's good. I'm telling you it's good. So to grow or not to grow? That's the question. Because under the circumstances, you see, it's under the circumstances, a choice has to be made. And the choices for Israel right there is, listen, are we going to accept this situation, this problem, as an opportunity to grow and keep going, or not? See, and if the not is not stand still, the not is we go backwards. See, never is it, well, I'm just going to stay here. And for them, that wasn't an option either. Well, we'll just stay here. No, because they had a problem behind them that was going to overtake them and bring them back to where they came from. That's the way it always works. Always. So in facing the difficulties, in facing the problems that we face, life is filled with them, just have kids and you'll know that there are problems. You know, it's like, oh, you know, especially the first one, you know. I mean, so, some parents, they go so crazy with the first one. The baby poops its diaper and they're all excited. Oh, look at what the little poopy. Oh, how wonderful. You know, just wait till the child gets about 1 year, 2 years, and that tell me how wonderful that poopy diaper is, you know. And here's the situation. And I'll just say it flat out, that all of the situations in life, as we are going to where God wants us to go, We are always faced, always, in the problems with an opportunity to grow or not to grow. It's a whole different way of looking at our problems, isn't it? You know, it's like, say it with me. My problem is an opportunity for me to grow. Say that 10 times fast. And so, now, if I were to ask you, right, if I were to ask you, you know, in life, in your life, now think about it, okay, I'm serious now. If you had to pinpoint, to distill it down and say, you know what, this is the problem right here. This is the problem. This is the problem in my life. You know, this is it right here. This is the problem that I see in this situation. Could you crystallize it and formulate it into the problem is, and then period. Could you do it? I've crystallized it to take something very general and funnel it all down and to say, this is it right here. That all of my problems, you know, it's like, you know, Sandra and I, we've been married 38 years. Am I right? How old are you, Tina? 30, it'd be 38 years. I always forget, but she's 37, so it should be 38. And it's like, you know, I say, you know, it's like, well, how many problems have you had? You don't want to know. And I've often thought marriage would be a lot easier if it wasn't for Sandra. My marriage would be a lot easier if it wasn't for her. And think about it, though. You know, it's like, wouldn't life be easier if it wasn't for other people? You know? And now I'm not going there. It's like, oh, it's like some of you are thinking, oh, I know what he's going to say, what the problem is. It's people. You know? Or it's my spouse. You know? No, I'm not going to say that. Because it's impossible to be married alone. And it's impossible to be a person without other people. It's just impossible. So, what is it? Well, I've taken it from something A.W. Tozer said, and he said this way back at the year of my birth, or before, 1955. It was a good year, 55. And he says this, and it's so stinking true right now. It's one of those things that just is always. He said, probably the most widespread and persistent problem. See, there it is. What's the problem? Widespread, it's universal, covers every continent, and persistent. It's pervasive and it's persistent. It's always there. To be found, what problem is to be found among Christians? And he says, you ready for this? It's simple. It's the problem of slow or dysfunctional spiritual progress. In terms of my message today, it becomes the failure to go forward. It becomes the failure to take the opportunity that you're in, problem, and to grow by it. Instead, you go back by it. That's the problem. That's the problem. How many of you have seen your butt prints in the sand? Been there, done that, I'm telling you. You know, I can look back right now in a particular area and see them. And I'm kicking and screaming, God, no. He says, you're coming, you're going forward. Thank you, God. Now, let me just mention a couple things. It is my MO real quick, okay? Mention just a couple of things about getting unstuck, okay? So that you have this sense about you of going forward. That when the question comes up, is this going to be a growth moment for me in my life or not? See? Is that what this is going to be? And Let me just get to it. So you can get on with your journey. And the journey is that place where God wants you to be. You see, God has some place to bring you. God has some place to bring us as a church, as a people, as a community. He has some place to bring you. It's your destiny to grow. Repeat after me. It's my destiny to grow. God has worked it into your DNA in mind, by design, by everything that Christ did on the cross. When God spoke creation into existence, into that existence was, it's my destiny to grow. God has some place for me to go. And if I'm going to get there, I can't stop. To stop is to go back. I got to do what? Go
forward.
Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Easier said than done when you're faced with a Red Sea in front of you and Pharaoh's army coming up on your behind, if you know what I mean. And then you have this sense about you, oh, I need to go what? Forward. Try it. You know, usually what I won't say what happens, but how do I get unstuck? You know, it's like I'm in up to my ankles, and I'm in head first. You know, I'm in up to my ankles. Oh, that's not so bad. But I'm head first up to my ankles. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like your life is like trying to run in peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter? And every now and then we awaken to this sense of, I have a destiny about me to go someplace. Right now I feel Bermuda or the Cayman Islands. But we have this sense about us that I have this destiny to grow. Now physically it happens. It happens physically. Now we have to eat, we have to diet, exercise to grow, but it happens. In so many other ways, and especially spiritually, we can retard that progress. And that's what Tozer's talking about. We don't take advantage of growth opportunities and we become anything but mature. So what do I need to do? Let me just mention a couple things to you real quick. Here's the first one. Release the past. Release the past. Now, with releasing the past, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Because, listen, we never abandon the past. That's an impossibility, first of all. My past is my past. And I am what I am presently because of all that I have been in the past. See? But releasing the past, what I mean in particular about releasing the past goes along this lines. You know, nostalgia. We all know about nostalgia, right? And, you know, the song, you know, those were the days, my friend, right? Whoever sang that, Joan Baez or anybody know? I forget. Who said, those were the days, my friend. Anyways, and we have this nostalgia and we think, well, listen, no, there are better days and the better day is today. You see, and we have this tendency as people to latch on and we get stuck in nostalgia. The way we used to do things, the way things used to be. And we have this tendency to look back in our own lives. Maybe to friendships that we used to have that we no longer have for one reason or another. And we're not able to release that from our past and it makes us stuck. It happens on a church level. Oh, the songs we used to sing, you know, or the way we used to do it, and we fail to realize that maybe it's nostalgia. We have to keep up with God, what God is doing right now. God wants to bring me to a new place in my life. That friendship is now done. I need to move on to a new friendship that God has for me. It's releasing the past. New wine goes in new wineskins. So releasing the past. The second one is forgive. Oh, forgive. You ever been stuck in unforgiveness? Huh? You know, when a hurt turns into a grudge. And a grudge turns into bitterness. A bitterness turns into hatred. And a hatred turns into, if he was walking down the same side of the street or same side of the mall that I was walking on and I saw him or her coming, I'd cross over to the other side. And if perchance we should glance, I'd give them the dirtiest look, because hatred turns into, I gotta get even. It could even turn into murder. Forgive. Here's something that I've been thinking about with this whole thing of forgiveness that makes us stuck and prevents us from going forward, prevent you from going forward in your life wherever it is right now. Overlook the offense. Listen, you say, Rulowitz, what has kept you married for all these years? I overlook my wife's offenses. Thanks, Mike. Yep. And she mine, the few that I've had over the years. But you, those of you who are married or in close relationships, right, friends, whatever, isn't that true? Don't our friends, don't our spouses do offensive things? And when they do, what do? If you're going to stay together, you have to overlook them. I'm telling you right now, you have to. Now, it's not to say you might not work them out, but maturity. See, if you're going to grow, you work them out. Now, don't understand me. Some relationships must be broken because the offense is so severe. But the point that I'm making is if you're going to grow, if forgiveness on normal levels happens because you have learned to overlook an offense. Boy, what he just said was stupid. Did he mean that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to overlook that and keep on going on. Yeah. Someone said, and this is for those of you who are looking, before marriage, look. After marriage, overlook. And you're going to be doing a lot of it after. So forgive. Here's the next one. Invest. Invest in things above. How do you get unstuck? Invest in things above. You know, were you staking your life? What are you staking your life on? Yeah. What are you investing in? That this is life for me. And I would say that you never go forward unless investments are being made in things above. Now, one of the things that means is I have an affection for God and for eternal things that goes further than my affection for things here in this life. You know. Boy, did I learn this the hard way. I like my cars. I do. And, you know, if I had the money, I mean, I really like the Audis, A8s. Aren't they a nice-looking car? Black. That's what I'd have. And, my first new car, Tina was 4, 5, walked, it was a Chevy Malibu. It was metal flake blue, chrome around the wheels. I mean, this thing was hot. Chevy Malibu. In those days, the Chevy Malibu was a sedan family car. But, oh, it was nice. It was nice. I walked downstairs. Tina's playing in the sand. She has handfuls of sand in her sand bucket, and she's throwing them onto my new Chevy Malibu. I freaked. Freaked. That was not bad. Then I walked down one day, and she's with the neighbor kid. It's summertime. She has the plastic sled. She's on the roof of my Chevy Malibu. Sliding down the back window, the trunk, over the trunk, onto the ground. As you can see, I need help. And not that she didn't need to be disciplined and help to see. No, that's not what you do with the sand. That's not what you do with the sled in the summertime. But something was happening inside of me to see that I put too much stock in that car. Now, you relate that car to anything in this life. Don't we all do that with things? You know, put too much value in those kinds of things, and we fail to make investments where they really count in life. I'm telling you, we all do it. How God has to help us. And you will never go forward unless you make the right investment in the right place. The last one is this. Right on time. The last one is this. If you're ever going to get unstuck, if you're ever going to get unstuck, you got to learn to build altars. You got to learn to build altars. Kim, could you play the keyboard while I'm saying my last point? I just feel like I want a little of going forward music while I'm saying my last point. Thank you, hon. Sandra's not here. I can't call upon her to play the keyboard. But here's the deal with build an altar. I'll wait till I have going somewhere music. You know what song's been on my mind? Do you know, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're my living hope. I don't know what one that is, but thank you. And so, because I don't pull any punches, and, you know, sometimes we're a little bit too much without protocol. And so I'll just tell you straight out. I saved this one for last because I'm going to challenge you to build an altar right now. I'm going to challenge you to build an altar right now before you leave this place. One of the things that I've concluded in my own life, I'll be 60 this year. How in the heck did that happen? Craziness. And one of the things that I've made a promise to myself is that I will not waste my moments. I will not waste my moments in the responsibility that I have been given in the way I use words and helping people. I want to say to you that this is what building an altar means. Building an altar, and I put it in the plural, building altars, because in our lives, through the seasons of our lives, we are often brought to the place that to go forward means that you have to make a new commitment to God, to Christ, to keep going. And without that new commitment, there is no going forward. That's what it means. It doesn't just happen once, the commitment, the altar. See, an altar is a place where you come to and you do business with God. You do business with God. I know people that I'd love to get to the altar. Have a self-sacrifice. I'm joking. But it doesn't work that way. I have to come to the altar, make that altar where I say, God, at this stage of my life, where I'm at, with the mistakes, with the mess, and I want to experience the miracle right now of recommitment to you. I surrender. Now you say, and once again, just to emphasize, and this is it, build this, renewing commitment. Renewing my commitment is like renewing my commitment to stay married to Sandra. Now, it doesn't take an awful lot, because, boy, she's a good girl. But sometimes, and I'm not joking, and I know that I've made her climb the walls. And I come back to, I'm devoted to her. I'm honoring my commitment, period. John and Anita, right? And in my commitment to Christ, life, my life has been filled with recommitment. See, it's not something you do because, you know, well, you know, I've gotten so far away. Yes, that happens that way. But God brings us new seasons of our lives, even as a church where we're at right now, that we are saying as a people, you who belong to Wilka Christian Life Center, that we are saying, you know what, Charlie's word to us, the place that God wants to bring us, we are saying, God, yes, we as a people, God, we have signed on, and we stay focused to that. God, we're a family, and we're the perfect church for imperfect people, but we're going towards perfection. We're committed to you, God. And in your life, wherever you're at right now, you say, God, I want to build an altar. And here's the last thing I'll say about building the altar. You don't get right to come to the altar. You come to the altar to get right. Oh, well, you know, if this was working in my life, you know, I laugh. It's like some couples who they don't get married because they got to get rich first. They got. Well, before we have children, we're going to go and get a PhD in child psychology. It wouldn't hurt. That doesn't do it. God says, the old Billy Graham song, right? Just as I am, I come. So I'm going to challenge you today. Build an altar. Build an altar. Where you say, God, at this season of my life, I'm asking you for the miracle of your grace to come into my life right where I'm at. And help me to feel that grace seeping into every molecule of my being that would enable me to say, I surrender. I surrender to you, God, that I can continue to go forward. Repeat after me. It's my destiny to grow. It really was rhetorical. I didn't mean for you to say it, but anyways. So let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us in this place, for us as Wilkett Christian Life Center, Wilkett Church, for Bob Rulowitz, who I am, what I do. I'm pastor. I'm dad. I'm grandpa. I'm a lot of things. For each person in this sanctuary today, this morning, we'd feel the tug of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts to build an altar, to release the nostalgia of the past, to forgive where we got to forgive, to reel in affections that we've placed on so many things and not on the right things, not on the things that really count. God, help us. And then to get this altar built right now. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes that you say something to God in your heart to build that altar. If you need to come forward and you'd like to express it in that way, you're welcome to come forward to say, I'm stepping forward to say, yes, I'm surrendering. You can do that. You don't have to, but you can. Maybe you do have to. I don't know. That's between you and God, but you're welcome to. But I'm challenging you in the name of Jesus that before you leave this place, you build an altar. And at this season of your life, that you say, God, I surrender my life to you. I'm saying it. God, I surrender my life to you. At this season of my life, turning the corner on middle age, son of a gun, going off into my later years. God, I want you to know that I give you my life. I want to live for you in this life. So, Lord, as you are able to read the hearts of all of us and hear from us, I pray, God, that you would so draw near to us and even through other people that we would connect with to help us to understand your destiny for our lives and growing. Going forward, getting unstuck. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, God bless you. Don't rush right out. Introduce yourself to someone, and we're going to pray here. Anyone else you'd like to come forward, it's not too late. We're not going to rush out. I'm not going to rush out. Please come. But listen, say hi to a few people, please, okay? God bless you.